John chapter 6, and we've arrived at verse 64. If you're just joining us, what's been occurring in this book or this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ in the first part of the chapter has fed a multitude of people. The men numbered are 5,000. There are many more people there than that. But He's fed them. He's gone across the way because they have false motives for following Him. And as He goes across the way, they begin to seek Him out. And they seek Him out. He begins to preach them a message. And that message causes great offense to some, misunderstanding in others' lives, and it's very hard for them to hear. When He gets through speaking that, He has a problem. The preacher's problem is that those that did not want to hear the Word of God not only left, but then people that were followers of His began to leave. And this is the context of where we have arrived, at John chapter 6 and verse 64. Jesus says, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And He said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father." From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. God will bless the reading of His Word. Would you pray and ask God to speak to your heart through the Scripture? Father, we thank You for a copy of the infallible, inspired Word of God. And Lord, we believe it to the point that we're hanging our souls upon its truth. We believe it's Your book. But God, we know that You'll have to give us understanding if we're to enter into these things this morning and find that truth that's so necessary for our lives. And we pray that You would give us humble and obedient and tender hearts, that we could heed and hear these things. And Lord, please, if there's someone here today, they're in church, that's a good decision. Lord, they're here and they're hearing the Bible, that's a wonderful decision. But Lord, if they have something missing on the inside and they don't have a relationship with Christ, I pray they'd come to Him by faith and repentance. And Lord, I pray that You would put some more determination into us that name the name of Christ to have a deeper commitment than just what's on the surface. And may we learn from these things. Help us, O God, our Father, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 64, Jesus says, "But there are some of you that believe not." I want to talk to you first about these unbelievers that are in the text. Now, they're around Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean they believe in Him. You know, belief is a matter of the heart. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's with our hearts that we believe. And so they're associated with Jesus Christ. They are inquisitive. They want to be around Him, but they are not believers in Him. And my question to you is this morning, do you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you just around His company? Do you have a real heartfelt belief, a heart sincere belief in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the truth is, He knows whether you believe in Him or not. Look at our verse. He said in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not and who should betray Him." Jesus knew what was in their hearts. You know, just because you're in church doesn't mean you believe in Jesus Christ. And just when I say believe in Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about believing in your head, Because the devils believe that. The devil, Satan believes in Jesus Christ in the sense that he is the Son of God. I mean, there were devils that followed Jesus around as he did his ministry and even declared, "This is the Son of God." They know who he is in their minds, but their hearts have never trusted him. Their hearts have never been fully persuaded to put their faith in him, you see. And I wonder this morning, do you know about him or do you believe him? You know, we live in a day where faith is getting more rare all the time. Faith in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what most people believe today? They don't believe in anything. But they do believe in something. You know what this world believes in today, the day in which you live? They believe in me. I believe in me. I'm the one that I believe in. My hopes and dreams, my plans are set in myself. You know, that's a very unwise place to put your faith. Can you believe in yourself? I mean, that's the way the modern world is. We believe in us. We believe in what we're doing. We believe in our movements. Everybody's got a movement they believe in, you know, and they commit their lives to some movement, whether it's climate change or saving all the animals or world peace or whatever it might be or some political movement. And that's not a place to put your faith because, look, movements come and go. You know, in 1,000 years, nothing that anybody's believing in as far as the movements of this world are going to be here. It's not even going to matter. And 1,000 years from now, the people that are believing in themselves, they'll find out that was a very bad place to put their faith. All the accolades of man, all the idols that men put up and the people that put up, and they worship the creature more than the creator, and they have faith in man's ability, all that's going to be very short-lived because men don't live very long. I read the other day where they're working very hard. Even a great scientist has said that he believes that he can get humanity to live to 150. Have you seen this? They've even come up with this little pill you can take. I've not read about this. Now, they have not put it on the market yet. But this some guy from Harvard, you know, he's already been involved with it and some of the other scientific groups and organizations. And they've already said that you take this pill on a daily basis, and you can roll back your... This is not... I'm not talking about comic book stuff. I'm talking about educated, a lot of money going to... And the FDA, and they, I think they said, what, 5 years are going to approve it? Then you could even take it. And right now, just the Harvard guy and some of these smart people, they're taking it. He said it took 24 years off of his life. Or backwards. He went backwards, 24 years. And they're saying, you know, guys that lost their hair starts growing back. Wow. Right? I'm not making this up. They said that 50-year-old women were taking it and they were all of a sudden able to bear a child again. You've not heard about this. And then I thought to myself, okay, so you get 24 more years. If that's true, I don't know if that's true. I just tell you what they're saying. But this is the great advancement, believe in science and their ability to solve the problem. Okay, they give you 24 more years. I got news for you. Then you're going to die. Yeah. Yeah. If they can get it to 150, which I doubt that, you're going to die. Yeah. What a place to put my faith in a world that's going to stop, in a body that's going to stop. That's a wrong place to believe. Well, then you got the atheists. They don't believe in anything. But they're liars. They believe in something. And then you got the crowd that says this, well, I believe in God. Our text in verse 64, Jesus is talking to people that believe in God. They just don't believe in Him. Do you understand? You understand you can believe in God and go to hell. The only way to go to the Father, Jesus said, is by me. You've got to believe in me. It's not enough to believe that there is a God somewhere out there. You've got to believe in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's specific. How many people believe in God, but they don't believe in that Savior. They don't believe in that one. These people believe in God, but they can't come to the place where they'll put their faith in the God-man. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of man, the only hope of man. They're unbelievers. I want to move from the unbelievers now, and I want you to look at the next verse, verse 65. He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, we've already dealt with that in the previous verse. He's already said that a couple of times prior as he was preaching on himself about being the bread of life. But now he's talking about people that have actually come to him and begun to follow him. And the Bible says in verse 66, now this is a devilish verse. Years ago, I preached this as a young man. And I called it church split. You know the mark of the beast, the number of the beast and the number of his name. It's 666, right? Is that right? Now, you are in John 6, verse 66. So something bad's going to happen. And it does. Would you look at John 6, 66? John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now we move from the unbelievers to the leavers. They just leave. Now, the people that leave Jesus Christ here are not unbelievers. The people that leave Jesus Christ are not the heathen. The people that, look at your Bible. The Bible says from that time, many of his who? His disciples. These are his personal followers. This is not the crowd. This is not the multitude. You know, the Bible tells us he had a lot more than 12 disciples. He sent out 70. There were groups of disciples that had committed themselves at different times to the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. He got a great following of a multitude, but he also had a following of disciples. People that were really committed to him and following him and serving and working for him and that had believed that he was who he said he was. And the leavers are from that crowd. The leavers are from those that did believe on him and that did follow him. And there weren't a few of them. Look at the verse again. From that time, what's that next word? Many. Many of his disciples. It's a big event in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Many of his disciples went back. They left him. We're not following you anymore. And look at the Bible. It says, walked and walked no more with him. I'm not going where you go anymore. I'm not listening to you preach anymore. I'm not going your way any longer. These are the leavers. And why did they leave? Why did they leave Jesus? Go back and look at verse 60. The Bible says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, the same crowd, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Before they left, they hit something that was hard. And when it got hard, they said, you know, we're going to check out. We're going a different way. Probably one of the saddest verses in all the Bible is what we're reading here, that many of his disciples went back and walked no more. I don't know what happened to those guys. I don't know where they were after this. I don't know if some of them came back later. I don't know if they were... I have no idea what happened, but they didn't walk anymore with him. And they didn't walk anymore with him because something got hard. Now here in this text, the hard was something they heard, was the message they heard. You know, sometimes, and we preached on that, sometimes sermons can be hard. Sometimes there can be some truth that God puts on your plate or in your life that's hard for you to swallow. But sometimes life can just be hard. You know what I've watched? I have to tell you this. And we're living. Look, listen, guys. Listen, church. We are living in the generation of the leavers. We're living in the generation where people are leaving the church. And they're leaving the Bible. And they're leaving a godly life of character. And they're leaving the place where they're hearing the preaching of the Word of God. They are leaving the life of their forefathers. We're in that generation where they're leaving the truth. They're leaving the truth to go somewhere, who knows where, to believe a lie or to believe something else that God didn't intend for them. We're in that generation. And why? So many times, and I've watched it, because somebody hits a stump. Have you ever hit a stump? And they just say, you know, it's not worth going this way anymore. I'd rather hit the stump and stay with Jesus Christ than have a smooth sail through this life and not please God and not have the truth and not have God's life and not have His words and not be associated with Him and not walk with Him. They hit that stump. You know what you do with stumps? We had one right out here. Brother Monty, they're out of town today. You know what they did? They just ground that stump out, buddy. I mean, you walk out there, it's like it's not there anymore. I mean, it took a lot of hard work. Now listen. Here's my question to you. How committed are you to Jesus Christ? Because you can be in church and not be committed to Him with your heart. Now we move from, do you believe from your heart? Are you committed? What will it take for you to leave? How hard does it have to get in your life? You say, okay, I'm finished. This is just too hard. And maybe it's not a sermon. I've seen sermons, man. Just like Jesus here. I've seen a sermon. God just put a sermon out and that person said, that's it. I'm out. I can't take that no more. I can't. It's too hard. I'm not going to swallow it. I've seen Christians hit a hard place in their life. Listen, a difficulty in their life. And instead of asking God for help in that difficulty of life, they just check out. And they leave. The many left because it was hard. Not only that, I see another verse right there beside of it. John chapter 6, verse 61. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, doth this offend you? You know why the leavers leave? Because they get offended. They get offended. Something offends them. I really trust that my commitment to Jesus Christ goes much deeper than any offense that I might receive. Let me tell you something. It can be, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but it can be my own family. It could be my church people that I love. It could be a friend that I love. But if somebody offends me, I'm not going to stop loving and living for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let the offense take me out of the game. Every day you have some kind of offense. And I've said this before. People get offended on the job, but they just go on and work anyway. You know why? Because they like that paycheck. How many times has a boss or a co-worker offended somebody? But they went back to work. Why'd they go back to work? Because they love the money. They need a job. Would to God I'd be more committed to Jesus Christ and my job. And I'm not going to be offended at you, Lord. And I'm not going to be... I'm committed to you despite what path my life may go. Maybe they left not because it was hard or an offense. Maybe they just lacked faith. Maybe they heard this message and they said, you know, I just can't believe His preaching anymore. They just lacked that level of commitment to continue. Dear Christian friend, I'm telling you, you better buckle up in life and determine in your heart, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and be committed to God, come hell or high water, whatever that means, amen. No matter what happens in my life, I'm committed to Jesus Christ. Not the leavers. Those that left Him. Lack of faith, lack of commitment. Maybe they left because the guy next to them left. Said many of them. Well, if you're leaving, I'm leaving. Well, if you don't believe what he says anymore, I don't believe what he says anymore. Well, if you don't want to live that way anymore, I'm not going to live that way anymore. The leavers base what they do based upon what other people do. Church, the truth never changes. Jesus never changes. God never changes. What's right's always right. It'll always be right. Don't follow people wherever they go because usually they leave Christ. The crowd doesn't run to Christ in deep commitment. They run away from Him. Well, you know, I always respected and look up to so-and-so, and they left. Well, were you there for them or were you there for Jesus? How deep was your commitment, just as far as your family? I said, is your commitment to Jesus just as far as your families? Let's get a little quiet there. I don't love Jesus Christ and go to church and read my Bible every day because every member of my family's doing it. I do it because He died for me. He loved me more than I could ever love Him. And I owe Him my life, my all. And I'm committed to Him because He was committed to me. Believers, they just go away. It was so serious that Jesus comes to the 12. That's His inner circle. That's the ones that, I mean, they are the core of every part of His ministry that He's doing. And He's going to leave His work to them. And if they don't carry it on, it's going to fall to the ground. And the Bible says in verse 67, would you look at it? John 6:67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? It's in doubt, or I guess He wouldn't have asked them. Would you not agree? And you know the story. Peter, even when he says, you know, when Jesus told him he was going to deny him, Peter said, no, not me. I'm not going to deny you. If I have to die with you, I won't deny you. And Jesus says, you know, you think a little too much of yourself. And the truth was, all the way back here in John chapter 6, Jesus, I think, is having some doubts about His 12. Are you going to go away? You say, well, maybe He said that just for their benefit. That's possible. But I tell you what, you look at Thomas. Thomas is a pretty good leaver. Didn't take much for him to quit church. It didn't take much for him to quit believing. Jesus told them, I'm going to die, be buried, and rise the third day. He told them that with His mouth. But when He died and when He was buried, Thomas says, well, it wasn't nothing to this anyway. I'm gone. Doubts in His core people. You know what? We better keep our faith in Christ. The Bible says, him thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. And I'm telling you, church, there is something in every one of us that has the potential to leave the truth and leave the Bible and leave the God of our forefathers. And the place that Christ wants for... we all have that potential. If the 12 have that potential, you've got that potential. Will you go away? Man, I wonder if the Spirit of God would speak that to our hearts this morning and say, you're going to go away? You're going to go away when it gets tough? When you're going to go away when you're by yourself doing right? You're going to go away? Will you also go away? Believers, don't leave Jesus. Don't leave the truth. Don't leave what's right. Don't leave a Bible-believing church. Don't leave the precepts of godliness that He's given for us to live. Don't leave these things. Don't leave walking with God. When they left, the Bible says they walked no more with Him. You know, I've watched it. When people leave the things of God, it's not that they go find some other thing and they still keep God in their life. They just quit walking with God. And they don't plan it that way. But I've watched it 100 times. Just no more. Live my own life. Live for the world, the flesh. Live for the now and now. Don't be a believer. There's somebody else in this text. Not just the unbelievers and the believers. Look at also at verse 64 again. It says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. By the way, that tells you that these people never believed in the first place. You see that? He says, Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. They never had believed. But then he says, and who should what? Betray him. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, For he it was that should, notice the word, betray him, being one of the 12. You have the unbelievers, you have the believers, now you have the betrayers. Now, let me say something about the betrayer. If there was ever a time Judas could have checked out, it was right now.
Sure.
Jesus comes to the 12. He's one of them.
Yep.
All right, guys. We've got a line in the sand here. What do you believe? Where are you committed? What are you going to do? That was the time for Judas to say, you know, I don't believe in you anyway. I'm going to go with them. But you know, he didn't do that. You know, betrayers never do. Betrayers aren't leavers, they stick around. They stick around. And what is deep down in their hearts, they never show until the prime opportune time. You know what the Bible calls Judas? Calls him a traitor. Calls him the traitor. What a word. Traitors. You know what? I don't know if they still do it in the military, but you know what they do with traitors back when? Yeah, they shot them. That's what they did with traitors. You know, there's one other place the word traitor is used in the Bible. Just two places. Got a whole message. I'll preach on that. It's in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, the Bible tells us this. Chapter 3, he says, for this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then he lists a characteristic of the last age, I believe, of the church there. And he says, you know what he says? He says they're going to be traitors. Betrayers. People that betray everything they've been taught, everything they have perceived to others that they believe. And then they check. Then they deny and even bring harm to the Son of God and harm to the church. Don't be a betrayer. Don't betray the truth. Don't betray Jesus Christ. Judas kissed the door of heaven and he went straight to hell. Judas, the one that nobody even suspected. Betrayer in heart. You know, it wasn't just Judas that was a betrayer. After the resurrection, Stephen began to preach. And they stoned him. But in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 52, you know what Stephen told all that group of the nation of Israel? He called them the betrayers and murderers of the just one. He says, all of you are really betrayers. Because he was your Messiah. He was your Savior. He was the one that came to you and gave his life for you. And you said no, you rejected him. He said, you're the betrayers and murderers of the Lord. What a text we have before us. Jesus is reading everybody's mail. He says, yeah, you people are unbelievers and you people are leavers. And I know who the betrayer is too. You're a devil. You're a devil. And I know you're a devil. You're a devil from the beginning. And Jesus said, it was good for you if you'd never been born. You know, it'd be better for somebody never been born than to know the truth and then spend eternity without Christ in a lake of fire. It'd be better if they'd never been born. That is true. Well, let's end on a positive note. Wouldn't that be good? Oh, preacher, I don't want to be an unbeliever, and I don't want to be a leaver, I don't want to be a betrayer. Well, let's watch this. 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away then? Simon Peter, bless his heart.
Yeah.
Dumb fisherman, amen, but praise God, he's got the goods. He's got the goods down in his heart. When everybody's leaving, he says, I got something to say. I'm watching all of them that leave, and I know you say there's going to be a betrayer, and I know they don't believe me. They're just here to get another meal. But I got something to say, Lord. You know what he says? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Good march, Peter. That's your heart. That's the way to go. And I want to tell you, I'm not throwing in my lot with the unbelieving crowd. I don't care how big they are. I'm not throwing in my lot with the leaving crowd. I don't care who they are. And I'm not going to be the betrayer. I'm going to throw my lot in with this fisherman that says, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, why did he say he wasn't going to leave? First of all, watch it. I love it. 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Peter said, Lord, this is the first reason I'm not going anywhere, because there ain't nowhere to go. I call this the uselessness of going. If I leave, where am I going? To another bunch of nothing? Because I've lived long enough to live in this world to see everywhere in this world is a bunch of nothing. And Lord, there's no satisfaction at the bar, and there's no satisfaction in the sports, and there's no satisfaction in the job, and there's no satisfaction in science and health. There's just no satisfaction anywhere else. If you're not it, I don't have anywhere else to go anyway. You know what? You'll never leave Jesus if you don't have anywhere else to go. Would you think about that just for a moment? You know why people leave the truth? Because they think they got somewhere else to go. They haven't tried enough circles. They haven't dabbled in enough things to know that there's nowhere out there. There's nothing out there. The first thing that keeps me staying with you, Jesus, I just don't have anywhere else to go. You know what? I want you to look at the depth of this statement. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You know, my first question would be about all these people that are leaving Jesus. Where are they going? You know what? Peter's so wise. Peter knows it doesn't matter where they're going. The question is not the where. The question is the who. The question, it's not, are you going to go back to the synagogue? It's not going to, are you going to the temple? The question is not, are you going to a mosque? Are you going to another church? The question is, to whom shall you go? It's a person. And I'm telling you what, everything about Jesus Christ and about Christianity is wrapped up in a person. It's not wrapped up in a where. It's wrapped up in a who. And Peter knew that. Peter said, I'm looking for a person. I'm looking for the Christ. I'm looking for that one individual that God sent to satisfy the needs of every man and save every soul and bring that compassion of God in this world to take away that sin. And there is nowhere. There's only a who. To whom shall we go? Elon Musk. You're going to go to Elon Musk? You're going to go to the Pope? You're going to go to your next door neighbor? You're going to go to a preacher? You're going to go to a friend? You're going to go to a member of your family? You're going to go to somebody that your goo-goo eyes over and you think your world revolves around them? To whom shall you go? You know what? Whoever you go to, or even wherever you go to, you'll not find anything that is connected with eternity outside of Jesus Christ. Look at your text. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter says, I'm not leaving. And I'm not leaving because I don't have anywhere to go. But I'll tell you also why I'm staying. I'm staying because of these words. These words are keeping me. What's causing me not to leave? Because I don't have anywhere else to go. There's nobody else that can teach me like you're teaching me. There's nobody else that can fill my heart like you're filling my heart. No man ever spake like you. No man ever did what you did. No man had the character or the holiness or the godliness you have. There is nowhere else to go. And you've got the words. And every time you speak those words, my heart is thrilled and my soul is filled. And I've never heard words like that from anywhere. I grew up in the synagogue, but they didn't have those words. I've lived a religious life, but they didn't have those words. But I'm going to stay right here because no one else are giving me the words that connects my life with eternity. Eternal life. Education. Wrap yourself up in those words. There's no eternity there. That ends when your brain quits functioning, dies. Entertainment? Really? That ends when you're too old to entertain. And when all the other entertainers are dead. That's not wrapped up in eternity. Religion? Religion's not wrapped up in eternity. You can go to religions all around this country and all around this world. And you know what you'll find out about them? Listen, you'll find that 99% of the time, religion is not connected with the words. The words, plural, you see that? You know what will keep you with Jesus? To just value and fall in love with these words of eternal life. Then I just got to have the Bible. I just got to have that preaching. I just got to have that scripture that feeds my soul. And oh, you're in danger when the Word of God doesn't thrill your heart. When the Word of God doesn't fill you. When you don't value more than anything the words of eternal life and the words in this book, you're the candidate to leave because nothing's going to keep you. The words keep us. The words nail us to God. So many people wrap their lives up in the words of this life. The words they read on Twitter. The words they read on Facebook. The words they hear on the television. The words they hear on the news. The words they speak with their friends. What vain, hollow, empty words that can never set your life in the eternal life and the things of God. And God has given you eternal words. I tell you what, you fall in love with the preaching and the teaching of the words of God, and you'll be messed up for life. Because all the bands and all the fanfare and all the shows will not satisfy somebody that has tasted of the good Word of God. And Peter said, you know, they must not have been listening very well. Because I've heard preaching that nobody's ever heard in all of history. I don't know where they're going, but I know where the words are. I'm ready for the next message, Jesus. Me go away? It's useless. Why am I staying? You've got the words that connect me with eternity. Religion couldn't do that. Fun couldn't do that. Some people just leave and they go to fun. Let's have fun. Fun runs out. Some leave to go to a life of immorality and flesh and wickedness and fornication. You know that runs out too, guys. That runs out. That cheap thrill doesn't last very long. It's not eternal. Some run to money and that money runs out. Oh, Peter, with all of his uneducated life, looks at Jesus Christ and says, thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm not going anywhere. The reason I'm staying is because of what you're saying. And you've already told me I can live forever. I'm in on that. I'm connected with that. I'm for that. You said that the bread of life and the water of life satisfies, and I'll never hunger and I'll never thirst. That's what I want. All that thrills my soul is you, Lord. And I've forsaken all to follow you, and I've not been disappointed, and I'm staying right here with you. Because you've shown me eternity, not my little life that I live and it's over. These believers say it's useless to go, and why we're staying is because of the words of God. And lastly, he said in verse 69, and we believe. Watch it now, church. And are, what's that word? Sure. That thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says, you know why I'm not leaving? I don't have anywhere to go. But these words I'm hearing, I'm just addicted. I've got to come. I can't leave them. But Jesus, I'm not going to leave because I'm sure. I'm just sure.
Let me ask you, are you sure? Are you sure that the Bible's right and everything else is wrong? Are you sure about that? Are you sure that Jesus Christ is worth living for? Are you sure that He has the words of eternal life and He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him? Are you sure that He is the preeminent one in life and that He should have first place above all things that I think about or do? Are you sure? Peter says, I'm sure. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And I have no doubts. And I'm telling you what, the devil is a doubter. He tries to sow doubt and deception in the hearts of people. But there's somebody he just can't, he can't really get very far with somebody that is sure. You know, you go around people today and you ask them, are you saved? And they'll say, well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe so. That's not good enough. You're a leaver that way. You're in danger that way. I'm sure. I'm sure. You said, nobody can be sure. Sorry, it's already happened. I've had somebody tell me that. And in their denomination, nobody can be sure they're going to heaven. I said, well, that's wrong because I am. You know what else? I'm not just sure I'm going to heaven. I'm sure that Jesus is right. And I'm sure that Jesus Christ deserves my first love. And I'm sure He deserves all my heart. You know what else I'm sure about? There is nothing out there that could remotely compare to the person of Jesus Christ that's in here. I'm just so sure about that.